NOM Update News. I'm Eva DeLapp. It's 9:02. More money is needed for the Richard Foster Building. At last night's work session, it was realized that to house the needs for the new museum, the library, and the Choeric Beringia program, more space is needed. And more space means more money, roughly $3 million. The $15.9 million budget for the Richard Foster Building makes for a 15,000-square-foot building. To meet the needs for all three programs calls for an added 3,300 square feet. The work session last night between the Nome Common Council and the Museum and Library Commission was held to aid in making a number of decisions regarding space and budget. The museum planners from ECI/HYER Architecture have a timeline to design, develop, and construct, so the building is move-in ready by November of 2015. To get there, Brian Meisner says they hope to have a decision from the Nome Common Council by June 10th.
It requires a decision on site. That's the first and most important. There were a handful of sites discussed tonight, and it got narrowed down.
And narrowed down to location number one, the Anvil City Square site next to Old St. Joe's where the playground is. Number two, the armory that now houses the Alaska State Trooper's Office. And number three, the land owned by Sitnisok adjacent to the old federal building. And after location, the council also needs to decide the budget. Will they go with the $15.9 million budget or go and seek more funding? And a decision needs to be made soon. The more time it takes to decide a location, the less money is available for the building itself. Brian Meisner explains why.
That's just cost escalation, the same stuff that causes groceries and gasoline to cost more, causes construction to cost a lot more, so you can build less with a fixed budget.
The project loses 1,000 feet every year the project waits due to inflation and has already lost 1,000 square feet with the time it's taken to pick a site for the Richard Foster Building. And finally, for the planners to begin design and construction, the council needs to decide space allocation. And Meisner says those present at last night's meeting talked about one possible solution to the budget and square footage needs.
If the intent is to bring Choeric into the building, we should plan for either expansion or we should plan for building the core and shell, basically the foundations and the roof and the walls and heat, but not build out the interior of that space so that we can bring them in as the money becomes available. It's not the most cost-effective way to do it, but it's a lot better than trying to wait a couple years and let it all escalate.
The council meets next on June 10th. State wildlife officials have closed a subsistence muskox hunt near Kotzebue because of evidence of wanton waste of the animals. APRN's Ellen Locklear reports area biologists say five cow musk oxen from the Cape Thompson herd were killed sometime during January or February of this year. According to Jim Dow, a biologist with the state office in Kotzebue, wildlife officials were tipped off to the killings when two muskoxen bodies were spotted by census takers last month. On further investigation, wildlife troopers found five more cow moose bodies that had apparently been shot and left unsalvaged. Dow says the illegal harvests exceeded the harvest quota for the unit. The hunt was scheduled to open July 1st. The closure does not affect a similar muskox hunt on the Seward Peninsula. A grassroots campaign is gathering signatures for a referendum to repeal Senate Bill 21, Governor Parnell's oil tax overhaul passed by Alaska's state legislature this April. Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway needs to gather 31,000 signatures by July 31st to get the referendum on the August ballot. Ray Metcalf is a lead organizer for the repeal. He's a former Republican state legislator who helped establish the permanent fund dividend in the 1970s. Metcalf says Alaskans are not getting their fair share.
Senate Bill 21 effectively was just a gift to oil companies. They were already making way more than they make in other parts of the world for doing the same thing. And some legislators decided that they should make more.
Governor Parnell's oil tax overhaul would lower taxes on oil companies to a flat rate of 35%. With incentives, that rate could fall as low as 14%. The Alaska Department of Revenue predicts the state will lose hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue each year. Governor Parnell has argued that the tax cut will save Alaska from its precipitous decline in oil production. Alaska's oil production has fallen from 2 million barrels per day in 1988 to 500,000 barrels per day in 2012. Metcalf agrees that Alaska needs to give companies better incentives to produce oil in Alaska. But he says historically, tax cuts simply don't work.
We make the big mistake as novices at this stuff that we think we know what incentivizes an oil company. And things that we leave out of that picture are that they produce oil all over the world, and they need things like backup supplies. And I think that we are British Petroleum and Exxon's backup supply.
Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway is currently collecting signatures for a referendum to repeal Senate Bill 21. And KNOM wants to hear from you on the oil tax cut and the repeal. To share your thoughts, call into Sounding Board this morning at 10 a.m. Yesterday at the Nome Belts High School, Nome senior Dominique Hall signed a letter of intent to play basketball at Northwest Indian College in Bellingham, Washington. The Nome Belts Nanook was second team All-State, first team All-Western Conference, and a member of the Class 3A All-Tournament team. He joins three other Nanook players who played on four straight Class 3A state basketball qualifying teams.
Pretty rare to be able to play in four straight state championships.
Coach Pat Callahan also talked about strengths he likes to talk about when talking to interested college coaches, like the number of wins.
And that's what I tell all these coaches that call about Dominique or about Cass or about Jeremy Head or Jesse Blanford. The first thing I always bring up is the number of wins, you know, that they've been a part of. And because coaches love to have guys that have been around winning teams and know what it takes to win basketball games.
Dominique's father, Uli Hall, is himself a basketball player. At the signing yesterday, Uli talked about a moment he and his son shared at the Nome Recreation Center. Uli had just hurt his ankle, but decided to play another game at Sunday basketball.
I looked up at Dominique. I said, but I'm just going to play half a game, okay, Dominique? Now, I'm going to play half a game, and I'm going to call for you. You're going to sub in for me. And he looked at me in a very fatherly way, and he said, no, you're going to play the whole game. And so I did. And so I was thinking it was kind of ironic. It showed me that he's really grown up to become his own man. So much so, he's telling Dad how it is now.
Dominique says he's excited for college life and looks forward to maturing as a basketball player. Dominique joins two other Nome Belt seniors who have also signed to play college basketball, that of the Johnson sisters, Devin and Dylan. The price of gold in New York has fallen $3.50, trading at $1,390. Silver has risen 18 cents today, trading at $22.87. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 was canceled this morning. Unofficially 15 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.